unfortunately for the Bronx, the players that have been there haven't been playing outstanding football.
As good a record as Robbo has had, well, okay, he's won premierships with us during that time. And I actually think it's reasonably fair that there's talk now about him being under some pressure.
It's easy to forget that when he signed that 10-year deal, he was an absolute wrecking ball. And when he signed it, people were like, oh, what a great idea. Well, Steve, we've talked about it for a long time, about getting a fan on, and we've done just that today, something for you all to look out for, our first fan on the show talking all things Roosters. What else have we got, mate?
Mate, we've got some monster games this weekend. We talk about some huge injuries for some clubs and then some Origin stars that return to the fold.
And absolutely. And like I've said for the last few weeks, I'm big on the Drags, and they are playing the underperforming Raiders. This is the weekend, mate. Win number two coming up. You heard of you first.
Let's hope so, big fella.
All righty. Let's start with the Thursday night game. Oh, I'm going to have to drag myself out there for this one. It's always good news when they've got another player out, with Latrell obviously out. How big a miss is that for them? Because it sounds like 4 weeks minimum, but it could actually be more.
Yeah, huge for me, mate. You know, we touched on it on Monday's show around the marquee players and the impact they're having on their team. Look, for South's sake, they've obviously welcoming back a number of their players. Obviously, Murray is the big one. Fifita missed the captain's run today, but we're told that was for a personal funeral, personal matter. So they are pretty well, you know, looking as strong as they have it for a while. Graham's out. Latrell's the big one. You know, he was phenomenal in the start of the season, and they're at a really tricky point of their season. They're 7 wins and 6 losses. If we look at years gone by, they probably need to have about 12 to 13 wins to make the 8, and they've got some tough games coming up. They still got the Warriors, Sharks, Storm, Knights, Panthers on their run home, so they're definitely going to have to win the games like this. They got Parra twice to bank those points, because they're certainly not going to make the 8. With the run home, if Latrell's missing the next 4 or 5 weeks without an absolute stellar performance. So all eyes will be on CommBank Stadium for this one, because it'll be a really important game for the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, and Latrell's had a good year, comparatively speaking. He probably hasn't been at his best at fullback the last couple of years, but he was certainly having some big games. It's interesting, like, I think overall the stats actually say they win less with him in the team, but this year I think they're 2-2 when he's not there, and 5-4 with him there. But it's probably more the manner of those games when he is there that he really gets them up in big moments. He always has those moments in games where he produces something special. So they're definitely going to miss him, particularly you would think against teams like Parra at the bottom end of the table, where those stars actually can really finish teams off and blow them out of the water. So I think they're going to miss him this Thursday. It's also Mitch Moses' 250th game, so that's going to be a big one for the Parra team. We traditionally haven't had great records with milestone games, but you'd think for their star, their talisman, the team would get up for this one.
You'd like to hope so, mate. Look, for all the knocks on Moses, you know, even this year he's copped plenty. He's been a good campaigner for Parry. He's always gave his all when he's on the field. 250 games in the NRL is a monster achievement, mate. So hopefully it goes well for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're still going to have to be at our best to win this one, because South have shown plenty. They've got some good young players coming there. They've got a solid mix of the older guys too. So hopefully it's a good one. This is another interesting one. The first game on the Friday night, Titans Dogs. Titans were pretty impressive last week, and you've been talking about how they've been building to something all year, because they've been defending much better this year. They found some points last weekend. Oh, I'm just not sure that they've got enough points. The only thing is, the Dogs have been like that all year. They've struggled to score points. We've seen Steve Crichton remains at 5'8", so maybe that'll give them something extra. But I'd love to know your thoughts on this one, mate.
Yeah, look, you smack bang on the Titans. It's been a huge, it's been a huge effort by Josh Hannay to get them to have that, you know, defensive mindset. As we said, they got the best defense in the bottom half of the ladder, which is impressive. You know, the Titans' tactics were always to outscore the opposition, no matter how many they scored. So, hopefully they put in another good performance. And on the back to your point around the Bulldogs struggling to score points, it could be a bit of a dour affair on a Friday night. It hasn't been too bad up here weather-wise, but it has been changing daily. So it's hard to say at the moment what we're going to get. It should be good and fine, but it's hard to say. If we get any wet weather, it'll be tough. Obviously, Tino comes back into the side. They lose Cooper Bai, who's been a really, really good find in that young man. But Tino's back from his week off. The big news for the Bulldogs is a good and a bad. They lose Stindeli Tupanua, but they get Jacob Preston back. So while they'd love to have them both on the field at the same time, that will soften the blow of losing Tupanua. Look, for mine, I actually like the Titans. You know, the Crichton 5-8 experiment and Burton to the centres will roll on, and they'll have another week to try to bed that down. But, I just like the Titans. I think they might have a couple of too many points in them for me, mate.
I'm leaning that way as well. I wanted to mention this before, but while we're talking about the Dogs, the word is Bronson Cherry's on the way out. Yeah. He's visited Para and Melbourne.
Yeah, right.
Interestingly, I feel like he's been really back in form since they put him back into the team, and he's been one of their better players week in, week out. They've obviously got the young fella there, whose name escapes me.
Inari Tuala.
Tuala, yeah, he's been going great guns. So they've got someone to step straight in. What are your thoughts there, mate? And the other talk was there's every chance that if he does pick up a deal for next year that they may let him go before June 30 as well.
Yeah. Look, there's certainly talk that Gus needs to make some changes, right? We've been speaking about it since the preseason. So there's no doubt they need to offload some money. You know, we'd spoken several times about it being Burton, you know, the North Sydney Bears, et cetera, other options for Burton. If they move him to the centres and Crichton to six, I still think as far as salary cap goes and spend, they're still investing too heavily in the wrong spots. Yep. So for me, only assuming from the outside looking in, Inari Tuala would be on a lot less than Cherry. So it makes sense from that perspective to say to Cherry, off you go. If you can find something else, great. But I still think he's got his salary cap out of whack. And further on that, you look at their spine players. I know he signed Galvin on some coin, but that'd be one of the least expensive spines in the competition that Gus has put together, and that's why they're not scoring points. So I think Cherry won't be the last that we hear that the Bulldogs are starting to shop around and offer an early release on.
Yeah, and you're right. It makes a lot of sense from a business perspective, but what would make even more sense from a business perspective would be to keep Cherry and move Burton on. So there might be more at play there, I reckon.
Yeah, there's more to meet the eye the whole time. They've had opportunities with Burton, and they are steadfast in keeping him. So, look, it's interesting. At the end of the day, Gus doesn't have a lot of loyalty when it comes to moving players on, but Burton was one of the first to go across to Canterbury when they didn't have anyone. So, you know, you would hope and expect if there is any loyalty left, it would be going Burton's way. But as we've seen before, mate, it's a pretty ruthless business, the old NRL, when it comes to recruitment.
Yeah, and especially Gus. Marnie was pretty much the first one that bought into the vision and jumped. And they had no hesitation moving him on, and which turns out to be perhaps not the right decision either. I'd love your thoughts on where Sherry's going to, like, obviously going to Melbourne is going to be better, you would think, for his football. The word is that he wants to stay in Sydney, ideally. But who gets more upside out of this, Para or Melbourne?
Oh, look, I think, you know, Parra are in more need of a good solid first grader, and that's what Cherry is. There is really light rumblings that Jack Howarth could be on the outer at Melbourne. I'm not sure I understand that. They've spent a lot of money in this young fella coming through the grades. Probably some would say too much money coming through the grades. He's finally starting to play first grade, and from everything I see, he's certainly holding down a spot. While he may not be in the top centres in the competition, he's only a young fella who's doing a job. So if there's some rumblings there that they might think they're going to move Howarth on and bring Cherry into the side, obviously Cherry offers them a little bit more speed and attacking flair than Howarth. But there's an interesting one to keep a watch on there, because this could have a domino effect across a couple of teams. Yeah. And then to your point, mate, you know the Parra inside and out. They've got a lot of good young footballers coming through. So as long as he isn't going to get in the way of one of those good young footballers and you lose them to another team, I think he'd be a positive for both sides.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be ironic if they end up moving Jack Howarth on, given he was one of the players that Parra said, you can have Lomax if you offer one of these three. If they then went and flicked him, oh, mate. And especially if they flicked him, got Cherry, that's like another hit to Parra that they've caused. Could have been so much different. Rugby league, exactly. The two rumours doing the rounds today are Spencer Lenu to the Eels and potentially Bronson Cherry. To me, out of the two signings, Cherry's the one that excites me more. I mean... Before he had his drug suspension, he was such a quality player. But what I love about what he's done since he come back, he's just wholehearted. Like, he runs hard, he defends well, he seems to have a great attitude. Maybe he's not everyone's cup of tea, who knows? Like, I don't, without seeing what's going on within the four walls. But I'd be a great buy for us. And there's lots of young talent always coming through at Parra, but you've got someone like that on the market who's not going to blow the bank. I think it'd be a great signing.
Yeah, I think if you've got to pick between the two of them, I think it's Cherry every day of the week. I think Spencer Lenu, the game's passed him to a certain degree. There isn't much space in the game now for an impact front rower or middle forward that plays 15, 20-minute stints. It's just that isn't his go. So, or that's not the new NRL's go. So, you know, we called Spencer Lenu out at the start of the season that we thought he was, you know, as far as an overrated player in the Roosters team go, we thought it was him. And he's done nothing this season at all to change our mind. So if you're picking between the two, I'd pick Cherry every day of the week. No questions asked. And to your point around Spencer on the go, I know we'll get to the Roosters shortly and we have the deep dive into them this week with our fan guest, but that pack of forwards is red hot. I know Crichton's on the way out with, he's got an injury currently and going to Union, but that forward pack's one of the best forward packs in the competition. You know, New White is really developing game by game, and there's rep footballers all over it. So whatever they're spending on Spencer Lenu can certainly go to some of these young footballers that we saw on the under-19 Origin game as well. Roosters had a number of players. So I don't think Spencer Lenu will last at the Roosters, mate.
The Bronx Roosters. Now, before we get to our guest, let's just unpack this game a bit. On paper, based on what we've seen for the Broncos this year, this is a no-brainer. The Roosters had a good win against the Sharks, the ever unpredictable Sharks. But with their best players playing some of their best footy, you think they would have too much. Bronx have got Reynolds out, Mam out, Ben Hunt and Tom Duffy combined in the halves. Obviously, Duffy's been going pretty well since he got there. What are your thoughts, mate? Are the Bronx any chance here?
Oh, look, we actually talk about it in the next segment. The only thing I see worry for the Roosters is it's for these Origin players, and there's six or seven of them in the lineup, that this is their third game in 10 days, give or take. And then they've had a lot of travel. Obviously, Origin was in Melbourne. This game's up in Brisbane. So I see that the potential is that the Roosters lose rather than the Broncos win, if that doesn't sound too harsh on the Broncos. But I just think they've got too much strike power across the park. As we said, that forward pack just oozes hard, tough workers. And then that back line, You know, we mentioned Hugo Savalas. I think he's growing as a player playing in the centres. I think he's learning more about the 5-8 role that he wants to play further in the centres. You know, we go back to the Laurie Dalys and the Brad Fittlers who have played a lot of centre as a young fella, and I think Hugo Savala will come out of this season huge. Marky Mark, Tedesco, Cherry Evans, Walker, they just ooze class this side. So, I've been high on the Roosters for the last couple of months, and there's nothing from this Broncos team, the way they're playing at the moment, that will sway me this weekend, mate.
Yeah. I'm with you there, mate. I couldn't tip the Broncos for with anyone's money. I would be interested to know your thoughts on the Broncos. Do we have to say that injuries stop being an excuse? We've talked about their depth all year. Or do you think it's a real problem for them?
Look, it's twofold. I guess the NRL, the way it is now, it's so professional. You know, you hear the buzz term, next man up mentality. Yep. With what the Broncos have behind them as far as not only their top 30, but they've got several feeder clubs up here in Brisbane in the Q Cup. They've got a lot of development. They should be doing better than what they are with an injury. That being said, this NRL competition is so hard to win when you don't have your talent on the field. So you're missing huge chunks of your salary cap. It's just no good. And then, unfortunately for the Bronx, the players that have been there haven't been playing outstanding football. You know, obviously all the eyes are on Reece Walsh at the moment. He just hasn't had a tremendous season. Staggs has been hit and miss at best. You know, Haas has been injured. You know, there's been a few shining lights. Xavier Willison's probably had his best season so far. And we've started to see a little bit more out of Jordan Rickey. There was, you know, he had bigger raps on him as a young fella and probably hasn't shown the hard edge, but he started to show a little bit more this season as well. So while they, you know, you can't use it as an excuse, the fans and the sponsors won't cop that. You know, when you're losing the talent and you have them off the field like they do, it's bloody hard, mate.
Yeah, I agree. The other bloke that churns out good minutes and pretty unsung, Ben Tolte. Good young fella coming through there too, particularly when Haas was out. What are your thoughts on this? Dane Gagai has been told by the Knights they won't be able to retain him, and at 35 he wants to go around again. The word is the Bronx are pretty keen.
Yep.
Now, to me, that's a no-brainer for the Bronx, good depth signing. But the one I'm interested in is the guy that they reckon will probably leave, Gemet Shibasaki. Yep. He came from nowhere to play Origin and play unbelievably well. He plays for Australia and goes on the tour, Kangaroo Tour. He's on 130,000 or something, so he's obviously due an upgrade, but he doesn't really look like he's kicked on. And the rumour is that he got back to some of those bad habits over the off-season and wasn't training as hard. Is he the sort of player that for a team picking him up, it's a risk?
Yeah, no doubt, mate. You talk about he come from nowhere. He spent a bit of time in Japanese rugby as well and spent a fair bit of time in the Q Cup. So there's a huge difference from that and then playing in the NRL week in, week out. So he's had that one breakout season and, you know, he you can't call him a seasoned NRL professional who knows how to get up for a preseason, you know, cops the bumps and bruises and looks after what he needs to off the park. Only for the pure fact that he hasn't done it, you know, year in, year out. He's had 1 year at it. So, for me, he's certainly a quality player that I'd be certainly trying to get, but I wouldn't be breaking the bank for it. And that's obviously the decision that the Broncos have made, that, you know, he wants more than the Broncos are willing to offer, mate. So, yeah, he'll certainly get a start. There's obviously another club coming in next year and then a second one the year after. So there'll be plenty of opportunities for him to get a start somewhere in the NRL. But I wouldn't want to be breaking the bank. You know, you talk about Cherry. I'd rather go him with a little bit more money than Shibasaki.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dane Gagai, if there's a player that's been benefited from this new way the NRL's been played, it's him. He has something like 75 line breaks, or tackle breaks this year already. Yeah. And the game he played a couple of weeks ago, it was like watching the young Dane Gagai run around. He was unbelievable, and it'd be a really good signing for the Bronx, provided the NRL continues to be played at the speed it is.
Yeah, spot on, mate. I think the once the Courier Mail start to get a bit of a sniff, I think the old Dad's Army, label is going to get flown around. Obviously, Ben Hunt's just re-signed. Yeah. Reynolds is sniffing around for another contract. They get Gagai. There's a few old veterans in the side. But the Broncos need, obviously, Payne Haas will be gone next year. They certainly need some leadership and some stability and, you know, Dane Gagai has been an absolute champion of the game, played the game at the highest level for such a long time. So you talk about professionalism, he must be super professional in the way he treats his body for to be still playing at the level he is. So that might be what Maguire's got in the back of his mind, mate, to start bringing some of these young fellas through and surround them with some really good mentors.
Yeah, it's a good call. I don't know if you saw what Hoop said during the week that Souths are hoping that Brisbane lose their next couple of games, so in the hope that they can tempt them to let go of Payne Haas before June 30th. You couldn't possibly see that happening.
There's zero chance. They'll run Maguire out of town if they let Haas go 1 minute early, I think. Exactly, I can't see that happen. And I'd be disappointed if Haas or even the NRL was allowed that. That's not what... No. We're happy to release players early on in the right idea, but that's not what the whole idea is about. So
I like the ambition, but that's taking the piss.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think there's a few fans around the competition that wouldn't be too happy with that.
Yeah, exactly. all right, we both think the Roosters. Now we're going to hear what our resident Roosters expert Troy has to say. So we'll check that out now. Well, we've been telling you for a few weeks we're going to get a guest in to talk about their club. If anyone else is listening and they want to talk about their team, make sure you give us a yell and we'll get you on as well. But Troy, thank you for coming on and being the first guinea pig, and we're talking Roosters. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good, thanks, mate. Nice to be on. Appreciate you having me. Calling me a guest is pretty, maybe a little bit over the top, but happy to come on and talk about the Mighty Chooks.
Yeah, of course. I've heard you waffle about this stuff for years, so now's your opportunity. How do you think they're going? Well, like, there was plenty of people believing that, given how well they went last year after they'd let go of a fair bit of salary cap spaces and some high-quality players, that given what they'd brought into the club and given how well those young guys have stepped up last year, that they'd have a big year. Do you think they're on track?
Yeah, I'd say they're probably about where I was expecting. I mean, I'm in the camp, as far as the DCE signing goes, I'm in the camp of I was very sceptical about it and, to be honest, wasn't really happy about it because I thought we had a couple of really good young halves coming through in San and Smith who'd been there for a while and was starting to develop well. And then, of course, Hugo Savala just came out of nowhere last year. So, and, of course, there's the Rodwell boys there too. So, and Toby Rodwell's always sort of been earmarked as our next long-term half. So as far as sort of recruitment goes in the off-season, I wasn't real thrilled about what we were looking at, especially with DCE. It's obviously taken a while for him and Walker to find a combination, and it's interesting watching them from week to week, actually, because they seem to kind of fluctuate between who's controlling the game. Mm. You know, there'll be weeks there where it's DCE controlling it and doing a lot of the kicking and moving the team around, and then there's others where it looks like it's more Walker. So I think they're about where I expected, but I'm a pretty harsh critic and I still get frustrated by the inconsistency. You know, they'll go out, like we saw a couple of weeks ago, they'll go out and smash Canberra, and then, you know, the week after get nearly 50 put on them by the Dolphins. And, of course, the Dolphins are a quality team, but there is still a lot of inconsistency there, I think. And that, I think, our for and against shows that too. We've got probably one of the worst for and against.
I think I read.
Yeah, it's a great shout. Obviously, having the new having new halves there has been a big thing for the Roosters. To your point, I think Hugo Savalas, I think he'll come out of this a better player, playing a few other positions, centre primarily. I think that'll be good for his long-term growth, but it certainly was an unusual one with DCE. Now, you talk about the for and against. You know, their defence has been the thing for me. Traditionally, the Roosters have had no problem scoring points, but defensively from time to time. But this year, they're fourth-best defensive team in the comp. What do you put that down to, mate?
They just seem to have a bit more, I don't know, a little bit more steel about them. I think White has been White's a tremendous player. Like, he's just an absolute beast. And I think he really shores up our defence. But probably added to that, I think, too, is the fact that Robson's joined us. You know, he's known as defensively one of the best hookers around. So I think to have him there in the middle, that really adds to it as well. I still find, though, like we have those nights where, you know, those games, like I said, against Canberra, where our defence is just almost impeccable. But then those other games where we leak, you know, close to 50, we've done it against, I think, Penrith and also the Dolphins. So I feel like there's still a way to go in terms of that consistency with the defence. And I think that, and that obviously with you saying they're the fourth best defensive team, that goes to show that their attack is not very highly ranked because, you know, if that for and against isn't great, I think, and that speaks to what I mentioned earlier about the halves trying to find the right combo.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think they're 10th to your point in points scored and might be fourth or fifth with conceded. So it seems like, to your point though, mate, the Tedesco, I've noticed the last few weeks, hasn't been as active behind the ruck. He's sort of picking and choosing a little bit more. So I don't know whether you've seen it differently, but to me it seems like they are just still finally just settling down with new hooker and new halfback there. When you consider Walker hasn't been in the NRL for a long time himself. He's still learning his own game. There has been a lot of changes to that spine from an attacking point of view.
Yeah, there has. And you know, that's one thing that we've struggled with. If you look over the past couple of years with Walker, missed a fair bit of time. You know, he had a fair bit of time on the sidelines injured. And so finding those, you know, getting a consistent combination over the last couple of years for us, we've had a lot of different combinations in the halves. I mean, Teddy's probably been the only real consistent part of that spine in terms of always being there. And it's interesting, you made that note about Teddy, because it's funny because, you know, I would think most people would say that one of the real strings that he's added to his bow and improved his game over the last couple of years is that ball playing and you know, getting up in the line and throwing passes to, you know, for try assists and things like that, and really getting heavily involved. And maybe that is part of them trying to work out, you know, is there too many cooks in the kitchen, that sort of thing, with him getting heavily involved. I mean, he's a fantastic support player, but yeah, maybe him not being up in the line so much is something that they're working on.
Yeah, well, I've noticed he's even added a little kick to his game too, which he's perfected when they get in and around the try line. So he's definitely improved in a whole lot of aspects there. I'd be curious to hear from your perspective as a Roosters fan whether you think he should have been picked for Origin and how he's gone in those two games.
I was honestly 50-50. Roosters fan or not, I wouldn't have been bothered either way, whether it was Teddy or Edwards. They're both such quality players. They both have a heck of a lot to offer. I guess purely from a Roosters perspective, I would love to have him to have not played, because then he's, you know, free for us and he's not a spring chicken. So actually, really interesting stat I read the other day. I don't know if you guys have seen that. Apparently, he's never missed a game for the Roosters through injury. He's only ever missed games for the Roosters through, you know, playing representative footy and stuff. Wow. Or being rested after a representative game, that sort of thing. I think it's true. It was from a pretty reputable source, but that's pretty amazing when you look at great little fire alarm happening.
That's fantastic.
Okay, no, it's gone now. All right, I'll do it. I'll have to go. So when you consider, like, he had ACLs and stuff at the Tigers before he joined the Roosters, so it's pretty amazing. But yeah, I was going to say that. Edwards is a great player as well, and I don't think Edwards had done anything wrong that he deserved to be dropped. So in some ways I felt sorry for him. How's Teddy gone in these two games? He probably hasn't been quite up to his club standards, but I thought overall he was pretty good in game one. I saw some mixed commentary about how he performed in game one. Thought he was pretty quiet in game two, but then again, our attack looked so clunky that I really don't think there was a lot of opportunities there for him. You know, we spent a lot of the time trying to defend our try line, which wasn't really, you know, didn't really work out very well.
That's probably a fair call, actually. We've talked about giving some of the other players a bit of a leave pass, given we didn't control the ruck and we didn't go great in those first two games, but you're probably right. I didn't think he was fantastic in both games, and the fact that they weren't going well certainly doesn't give him any extra opportunities. I'd be interested to hear... Oh, just on Teddy, I heard something the other day which I'd forgotten about. He'd signed with the Raiders. And he was heading there until he changed his mind in the cooling off period and didn't Ricky Stewart blow up deluxe. So
it's funny you say that. I'd forgotten about it too until I heard that mentioned during I think it might have been during the Raiders, the lead up to the Raiders Roosters game the other week. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. Exactly. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Robbo, not Robson, but as in the coach. He's had an incredible record over the 13 years or 14 years now that he's been at the Chooks. If you look at the whole period, but more recent history, you take away the two Cronk years. I know you can't take him away. He was there. They won. That's all good. But there has been some, you were using the word before, inconsistencies. There has been some inconsistencies. Is he still the right man for the job? And how much longer do you persist with him if you don't start hitting more regular top fours?
Yeah, I actually think it's fairly reasonable for people to say that when you look at, say, the last 5 or 6 years for us that we've underperformed, given the roster we've had, and the other, the other stat that gets trotted out quite a bit and quite rightly so is our discipline. We're one of the worst teams when it comes to discipline in the NRL, and we have been right down the bottom every year for about the last, I think it might be 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. And that's always frustrated me because, the coach should be really instilling that discipline in them. Robbo always comes across as a guy, from my perspective, who is very, very considered and thoughtful and very much a team first mentality, and the sort of guy who is not just, he's very meticulous. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is he's well aware of those discipline issues. So it's really frustrating that those things just continue season after season. As good a record as Robbo has had, he's won premierships with us during that time. And that's more than most coaches have done for any, for most clubs. I actually think it's reasonably fair that there's talk now about him being under some pressure, because let's face it, the Roosters haven't gone close to, winning a minor premiership in recent years or anything. And with the roster we've got, I think, I would imagine that we really should have been in the top four every year in recent times, given the roster we've had. I know last year, Robbo and Walker and Radley's long-term injuries really set us back in terms of where we were on the ladder. But I think in the early years I would have said Robbo, elite coach, one of the best there is. But I feel like it's more tending towards just barely a pass mark now. If you look at his whole career at the Roosters.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Before I let Steve go, because I'm sure he's got more questions there too, do you feel like they have made mistakes in their recruitment in recent years? Like Brandon Smith's the first name that comes to mind, but there were a few others in that time, the Tyrrell May situation. There's probably more that I can't think of off the top of my head, but do you think they have made some mistakes there?
Definitely, 100%. I mean, I know... Talking to mates, we all thought the same thing, that there's no way Brandon Smith was a first grade hooker. He was a very good, more of a lock coming on and in a running role. But he was never a first grade hooker, and he was never up to 80 minutes. So his signing on a lot of money was really surprising and disappointing, and thankfully it didn't last long. He's got a role in a team, but he's not your starting hooker. He's not an 80-minute hooker. So, I thought that was a really bizarre one. Tyrrell May, I'd love to know the story behind that. I'd love to know what actually went on there, because that was straight out bizarre. I mean, the guy was trending to be one of the best front rowers in the NRL, and he's continued on that trajectory. and he was playing so well for us.
And you just JWH has just moved it on. Yeah.
Just extended him. I'd love to know what went on behind closed doors there, because there is 100% more to that. He says there isn't, and he only just came out, I don't know if you saw, just about a week ago, and made his first sort of comments about it. I'd love to know, because that was bizarre. So, yeah, we've absolutely made some mistakes there. I know that they always say, oh, the Roosters always get their man and that sort of thing, but we've definitely made some really odd calls in recent years and at times too, where we've had a fair bit of cash sitting there when we've, you know, other players have retired or gone to other clubs and that sort of thing. So, yeah, a bit strange.
Steve, what do you got?
You just mentioned about the team, and on paper right now, they've got one of the best teams in the comp. There's no doubt in my mind that forward pack is littered with rep players. The back line isn't far behind them, current and ex-players. The talents across the board and undisputable. For me, you're looking at their run home to finish in the top four. They've got one bye to come, and they probably need to get five or six wins, which I probably see that happening. But the horrid last four rounds for me, Dolphins, Raiders away, Warriors and Panthers, that is four very tough games heading into the semi-finals. Obviously, as a fan, you'll be hoping top four, but what's your expectations for finishing the comp and then going through that stretch to hit the semis, mate?
Yeah, that is a tough stretch to finish. My first thought is hopefully Penrith are leading the comp by about 8 points at that stage and they rest most of their stars in the final round. That's the first immediate thought. That'd be lovely. Warriors, I mean, they've been hit with a couple of really hefty injury blows lately, so it'd be interesting to see if they can hang on up the top there. But I'm confident we can make the top four. But I think that we are going to need to show more consistency than what we have in recent times. I think once we get through the Origin period, we'll be looking pretty good in terms of, you know, we don't have too many guys out injured. So I feel like we should be in pretty good shape. It's ironically, it may well come down to that for and against at the end of the day. So that'll need to keep ticking up. But I think if we can play consistent football, then there's no reason why we can't make that top four for sure. Because I look at a couple of the other teams there and I just wonder, you know, Newcastle have been playing great, but I wonder if they're going to be able to hang on. Warriors now, like I said, with the injuries, are they going to be able to hang on? I mean, Panthers are they're a given, but I don't see too many of the other teams up there right at the moment, apart from maybe the Dolphins, who have much stronger cases than what we do.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. I actually think they'll have enough points for the top four leading into those four games. I think for your points, smack bang on. I think anyone who's going to win the comp, they're going to have to go through Penrith and then the Warriors to beat both of those two teams in grand final qualifying, grand final day. So if the Roosters come through those final four games and then go on a run through the semis, it will be a premiership to remember. There's no question. But with that lineup, in the forwards and that star-studded back line, mate, I think you've got a good a chance as most of the other teams in the comp at the moment.
I hope so, although that, our shocking record against Penrith is something that looms large. It's we just can't seem to figure them out. I know we're not on our Pat Malone we just can't seem to crack it with them at all, and in fact, not even go close.
So. I know these draws are done well in advance, but that is an absolute doozy, isn't it? Three of the top four in that last four rounds, and of course, we know the away trip to Canberra is never good. Last one from me. Now, Roosters fans cop a lot of hate. What is it that sort of grates you more than anything around the crap you catch cop from other fans and also the media, because they do come under a bit of scrutiny from the media as well at different times?
Oh, look, I mean, obviously the first thing's the sombrero, but I've come to just, you know, whatever, that is what it is. Yeah. But I do find it funny when it's always said the Roosters sombrero, but they never really sort of, I don't know, like a couple of years ago there where we, and we had a whole mass exodus of players, you know, Manu and you know whoever else there was at the time. They don't tend to look at the players that we're letting go. So you know, I think that's just for convenience sake. Sorry, there was something else I was going to say, but I've lost it now.
That's all right. Bad. It's funny, isn't it? Because footy fans have such a long memory, and they carry on about things that have been true maybe 20 years ago. But you're right, because there was a time there you lost Manu, Sualihi, Rira Hargraves retires, Kiri retired, and then they signed Robson, and everyone's like, oh, of course the Roosters have money for that. And it's like, hang on a sec. Their team last year was missing star quality, and they should have had like a good couple of million to spend. So mine was more like, why hadn't they bought more, given
they freed up a heap of cash? I was thinking the same thing. Thanks for remembering the players that I kept forgetting, that I was forgetting. Yes, I knew there was a whole bunch of them. Absolutely. It felt like we should have stacks sitting there. I mean, I know you got to upgrade players, and we had guys like Wong and White and a few others that really needed pay upgrades. And you got to look after those guys, of course.
The hard bit for me is there's a fair few Roosters players at the moment that are hard to hate. Like Nefahu White's my favourite non-para player. He's just an absolute beast. We've talked about him a fair bit on this pod. There's just some good young men there, which is good. Gone are the days of the grubs like Croker and the like. Anything else for you, Steve?
Oh no! Just what's your prediction for the weekend, mate? Obviously, the Broncos up here. The Broncos have not been in form, but how do you see the game playing out this weekend?
Yeah, despite their awful form lately, and like, there's no other way to describe it, they do still worry me, because you know you got Haas and Walsh and Co there. You've still got a fair bit of talent. I will say though, we tend to have a pretty decent record against the Broncos in recent years. So I'm quietly confident. I think the only thing, the one thing that's gnawing away at me is that it's a short turnaround. We played Sunday evening and it's Friday evening. So it's a 5-day turnaround. That on the back of Origin means that, seven of our guys will have played 3 games in 10 days. So that's the only thing that concerns me there. Like that's a lot of footy in 10 days. And that's, you know, down to Melbourne, back to Sydney, up to Brisbane, that sort of thing. So, that's the only thing I'm a little concerned about. Other than that, fairly confident, and just hoping that Haas or Walsh don't pull out blinders. That they're probably well overdue. Well, Walsh in particular is well overdue for.
Yeah. Yep. Spoken like a true footy fan, despite everything pointing to a win, there's still that self-doubt. I think we're all the same in that space, apart from maybe Panthers fans.
And you know me, I'll find the pessimist attitude in pretty much anything I can. So I find it hard to go into any game completely 100% confident that, yep, we're going to win this.
Yeah, I'm with you. mate, thank you. Been the first. We've ripped the Band-Aid. That was high quality. Of course, not your first podcast, mate. And for those who want to check you out on there, what's the golf one you're on? It was a really, really good performance on that one.
It was talk birdie to me. Caddied for one of those guys many years ago. It was good fun.
Good times. Mate, thanks for coming on. That was fantastic.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Well, that was great. He knew his stuff about the Roosters, didn't he?
Yeah, he certainly did. You can tell Troy's a pretty passionate fan, and he watches everything, because he knew exactly what was going on and the players. Some interesting talk around there. He was talking about, you know, some of them just not quite gelling yet. So it'll be interesting to see, once Origin settles down, if they can start to get that attack firing, like Troy mentioned.
Really interesting that what I suspected is that some of the points that Robbo had up his sleeve with the Roosters fans might be starting to run dry, because he kind of sounded like he was open to the idea, if things don't get better soon, that he's under massive pressure. So that will be interesting to watch. All right, we have the game of the round. Two teams that we both thought would be there or thereabouts in the top eight, but they have shown that they both belong in the top four. Apart from the recent injury to Jackson Ford, which I believe will keep him out 10 to 12 weeks, which is a massive hole for the Warriors to fill, this will be an absolute belter because other than that, and other than some of the other, you know, longer-term injuries for both teams that we've talked about before, pretty much full strength. Izzy Katoa's back. Who do you like?
Mate, look, I like the Dolphins on the back of the Warriors missing their two front rowers. So, as you mentioned, Ford's 10 to 12 weeks is a monster, disadvantage to the Warriors. He's genuinely been the in-form middle forward of the competition. So not, physically as intimidating as few of the other front rowers getting around the competition, but workload and effectiveness is off the charts from a statistic point of view. And Fisher-Harris is obviously out. They're talking round 19, so he could miss another two games, give or take. So on the back of that, I'm on the Dolphins at Suncorp. You know, you talk about Hammer, Katoa's back. He missed last week's game. Plath, Cobo, Flegler. There are some pretty impressive wins when you consider how stacked their team was last week without them. So, for me, I've got to go to the Dolphins. I know that won't impress some of our Warriors fans, but this is going to be a cannot-miss game. 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, we get a dry deck up here at Suncorp. It will be an electric game of football. So, for mine, the Dolphins, but the Warriors aren't going to give it to them easy. The Warriors are going to stick it up them, and it'll be a cracking 80 minutes, mate.
Yeah, I reckon. I've had a look at the forecast. There's going to be a bit of rain. I'm going with the Warriors. But hard one to pick, and my hope is that it's an absolute ball terror. Two big packs going at it, and both with electric backs. It's going to be an absolute belter.
Yeah, I think this will be a preview for back end of the year, mate. I know that's not going to shock anyone. It's kept an obvious situation, but these two teams just look like they're continuing to build into the season. Both teams stay fully fit. This will be a semi-final intensity football. That's what I'm hoping and expecting. So I absolutely cannot wait. Do not miss Saturday, 3 p.m. This game's a must-watch.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be a cracker. Okay, so Cowboys-Panthers. Panthers get their big three, their origin players back, Cleary, Yo and To'o. Should be business as usual. The only sort of upside is that Jason Tomalolo, an upside for the Cowboys is that he's playing his 300th game. What an unbelievable achievement for a big fella who has had ongoing knee issues. Mate, what a player, and well-deserved accolade for him.
Yeah, well done for calling it out, mate. He to play 300 games in the NRL is something unbelievable, but to do it as hard and in the middle as he's done it is quite astonishing. He's a big man. You know, he's carried that big frame all the way through. Obviously started as a lock when the game was a lot different for locks than they are now. And he was just rampaging, ball player. Had that offload and just impossible to tackle. And then as he's gotten older, he's obviously moved up front, but still in the middle of the field, still working his ass off. You know, the biggest thing on Taumalolo for a long time was that his second stint was even better than his first. Yeah. So, you can imagine the heart and the constitution that a man has to have to play in the middle in the hardest game there is, and for your second stint to be even better than your first. So, just someone you'd always want to have played with. And hopefully the Cowboys fans really turn it on at Townsville. I'm sure it'll be a packed house and, expected fireworks. Obviously, I think Penrith will be too strong for them. But I really hope everyone gets around Taumalolo and gives him the celebration he deserves, mate.
Absolutely. It's easy to forget that when he signed that 10-year deal, which is probably 6-7 years ago now, maybe 8, I couldn't tell you exactly, he was an absolute wrecking ball. And when he signed it, people were like, oh, What a great idea. Obviously, people are 10 years, it's a risk, but he was playing unbelievable football. They couldn't tackle him. Sometimes he would drag three guys on his back and in, like you said, the toughest position on the field. It says a lot about his physical strength, but also his mental resilience to be able to keep going, particularly battling through, clearly hampered by a knee injury. Now that he's got that tidied up, maybe he breaks record for front rowers, because he seems to be having one of his better years in a while, doesn't he?
Yeah, 100%. He certainly does, mate. Look, the Cowboys aren't without a shout. Obviously, Panthers didn't play great last week. Nathan Cleary and Yeo will give them the control and the guiding hand they need. But the Cowboys are playing some good footy. There's certainly some quality, hard footballers in the forwards, and then they've got some speed merchants, young fellas in the back. So they'll give a fair shake of themselves. Drinkwater's playing some decent football at the moment. Both attack and defence. But, yeah, you look across the Penrith side and it's just class, mate. So they'll want to get another win, especially when you think 2v3 are playing each other. So one of those teams are going to drop 2 points, obviously. So Penrith get a win here at all but for mine. It all but locks in their top two spot. So they'll want to get the win and then head into Origin and give their players a bit of a rest, mate. So Panthers for me, but as I said, I hope it's an absolute packed house. They're hanging off the rafters, and Lolo gets everything he deserves for the celebration, mate.
Yeah, agree. I think what Troy predicted may happen will absolutely happen, that the Panthers will rest their players in that final round, because they'll have won that. They'll have won the minor premiership by the length of the stray, I'd say, by then. Barring some disastrous run of injuries, can't see anything else happening. Now, on Saturday night, the main game on Saturday, the 7:30, the Battle of Brookie. Probably not a single player left from that original well-known battle, but they still have a fair bit of hatred towards each other, these two teams, and it's always a big game down at Brookvale, should I say, Four Pines for this one. Are the Storm back enough to be a genuine chance in this one? It's a bit of a graveyard Saturday night at the Four Pines.
Yeah, it certainly is, mate, and Jerome Hughes is out, so they're talking 1 to 3 weeks. He's got a hemi twinge. But, yeah, I think the Storm are back. Tyrone Wishart comes in. He offers something a little bit different to Hughes. Look, Hughes is obviously a runner of the football, but Wishart is big on the run-first mentality. So that'll offer a little bit different. Joe Chan in the centres. He'd be one of the biggest centres in the NRL going around at the moment, big Joey Chan. But they're pretty well stacked, Hughes aside, mate. So I'm expecting Storm to really come out, similar to what I'm saying about Penrith. Storm know that they've gone on a bit of a roll. They're 3-1 in the last four games. Their away record's not great. They're only 2 wins and 5 losses. So they do know they need to get a couple of away wins to make this happen. But again, we speak about the Manly team, especially that back line. They got speed to burn. So this will be a good test. Bit of media talk around Jamal Fogarty not really standing up when he needed to in the last couple of weeks. That was the knock on him from last year's semi-final performance. So it'll be interesting to see how he stands up to the press and the talk around him in the crunch moments. And then obviously the old stager at the fullback position with Tommy Turbo. He'll be keen on a Blues jersey. So this game's a toss of a coin. I'm going to lob on Storm. I think they've been playing well lately. But for me, this game could go either way, mate.
I'm going with the Eagles. I think last week was the loss they need to have. I don't know whether they didn't train well or whether Foran saw it coming, but I think I mentioned on the Monday show that it was the first time he looked really distressed in the coach's box. I expect him to bounce back. One guy, a shout-out to, Taniela Paseka, he was incredible last weekend in a team that wasn't going fantastic. He's back to his best form, and it really does get the mouth-watering of the matchup with Stefano Uitokumamu on Saturday night. Also, there's plenty of speed to burn in that Manly backline. They didn't really unlock it last weekend, but with Joe Chan defending in the centres, Mate, you'd imagine they're going to be sending plenty of traffic his way with the speed they've got out wide.
Yeah, definitely, mate. They lose Ruben Garrick for the concussion protocols out of the centres, but you're right, mate. Saab, Kola, Lehi Hopewade. I haven't seen a lot of Josh Feldy. I hope I'm pronouncing that right for Josh. So I haven't seen a lot of him, mate. But there's no doubt that the speed that Manly backline possesses, that's what they'll be hoping. The forwards can hold their own, and then the halves can really gain some territory off the back of that and unlock this back line. So that'll be their goal, and I think you'll see the Storm try to play a little bit more through the middle, a little bit more of a running game from their halves, and the better tactics will win on the night, mate. It could go either way.
You mentioned the young fella, Josh Folletti. He's got one filthy mullet going on there too. It's fantastic.
I'd be surprised if it was as good as the two Fletchers from the Knights, mate. They must spend a lot of money on product. It is sensational, those boys.
Fantastic. The other person that looked like he had a point to prove on last weekend, Hamoli Olakau'atu, had a fairly aggressive game, shall we say. So yeah. He'll be looking for another big game so he can get himself back in a Blues jersey as well. Okay, like I said earlier, I think the Dragons are a massive hope in this one. They're pretty much as they were. Raiders not playing with confidence at all, and the Dragons just seem to get better every week. What do you think, mate? Are you a believer, or you still got the typical fan trepidation because you've seen it too many times before?
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. I'm a Dragons fan. It just keeps rolling downhill. But what I will say, and I've mentioned it before, and you just touched on them, mate, I'm so glad that he's keeping some of these young fellas in the team, giving them minutes, right? This is what this whole season's about, is just to continue to put minutes in these players. You know, even the likes of Daniel Atkinson, he hadn't played a great deal of first grade before this season with the Sharks. He'd been in and out. You know, he's played the whole season. He's going to be so much better for it. And we keep, you know, I keep waxing lyrical about the forward pack. I hope all six of them are signed to the Dragons for a long time to come, or I'd be a little bit panicky if they're not, because they are, they've just got so much rep football even ahead of them, let alone NRL. So I really, look, I like their chances. Going down to Canberra scares the shit out of me all the time, no matter who they are. Penrith could go down to Canberra and I'd be worried. To your point around the side, Blake Laurie's out. He's been playing a little bit off the bench. Christian Tuipulotta's been named on the extended bench. So, you know, I'm not a monster fan of the Fiagai brothers, and Matt's in the centres. Whether he comes in, we're probably a centre short and too many wingers. So I don't know whether Sloan might drop out for Christian Tuipulotta, but they're going to be pretty well locked in, mate. And as are the Raiders. They haven't got too many major changes. Obviously, their two origin players, Strange and Young, are going to be big inclusions for them. You know, Ethan Strange just plays so direct and straightens the whole back line up. So, look, it'll be a really good contest. I'm hopeful for the Dragons like I always am. But the Raiders at home, yeah, might be just a little bit too good for them.
Yeah, I disagree. The other person who's actually going well, I know when Young came in, he picked Cade Reid, but since he's had that injury, and Kyle seems to be playing with the weight of the world off his shoulders with his dad not there. His dad openly admitted during the week that he definitely put more pressure on him when he was coaching, because, you know, he knew he could take it. There's a whole other conversation there about the pressures that dad's put on young fellas. I know that's a conversation I've had many times. But yep. He just seems to be playing really good football, and it's interesting that the noise around him has definitely gone quiet. It could be the best thing to happen for him, is his old man moving on, because it allows him just to play his football. As everyone said at the start of the year, he's a good, solid first grader without you'd ever expect him to set the world on fire. I don't think anyone is, but he's been pretty impressive. Like, he's actually got the team around the park pretty well the last few weeks.
Yeah, look, I've been really disappointed with the knock on Flanagan for the last 2 years. He was one of our best players last year. Yeah. He's a genuine NRL 14, right? But whether people want to hear this or not, he's St. George's best number seven. Now, that's not Kyle Flanagan's fault. maybe it's his old man's fault. It's certainly whoever's in the recruitment and retention side of the club. But right now, Kyle Flanagan's St George's best number seven, and he was last year as well. So he's been really performing strongly for us for a couple of seasons with a lot of media pressure, let alone what he's putting on himself, that's been really unfair for mine. So, you know, I was desperately hoping he would have grabbed that ball and scored the try, more for him, the personal victory, rather than the victory for the Dragons last week. It just wasn't to be, unfortunately. But you know what you're going to get out of Flanagan? He's going to give his all. Now, that's not what Cleary's going to give you, because Cleary's a better footballer, but Flanagan's also not on $1.2 million a year like Cleary's on. So there's a lot of people out there that have been grossly unfair to Flanagan, and I genuinely hope he keeps going, and I hope he continues to be at St George. I know they've signed Watson next year and will probably be the 14, but I really like Flanagan, mate, and I think he's still got a lot of time in the NRL.
Absolutely. And he's tough as nails, as you'd expect with his dad as the coach. Big in for the Raiders, Simi's Sasagi. He's been probably their best all year. So that's a massive upside for them. And they're definitely a better team with him on the pitch. I hadn't seen that. So maybe I might be jumping off the Dragons after all.
We do. We don't touch on Supercoach too much, but I can guarantee you there's a lot of coaches out there that have held on to Simi Sasagi, probably in hindsight too long, but they are very, very happy he's been named in the centres, and they're probably very happy that they look across the park and Fiengai and Holmes are up against him and Timigo, because I think they'll burn us on both edges. But yeah, there's a lot of Supercoach players very happy that Simi Sasagi's in the side, mate.
Yeah, well, Val can't go any worse than last week, so he's got to be due.
Let's hope he doesn't try, mate.
Final game of the weekend, Knights Tigers. Another interesting one. Adam Dewey is back. The Knights have been winning without being super impressive, but they have Ponga and Dylan Lucas returning as well. And the big man, Alex Twell, is back for the Tigers as well. This should be a belter. Yeah.
It should be a belter, mate. We've been saying that the Tigers need to be back at full strength, and they are. So Samuel Ifeanyi's got one more week. He's probably back next week, word on the street. So we talk about Supercoach. Tony Sucker, I hope I'm pronouncing that right as well. Don't go rushing to be buying him. I think Ifeanyi will be back next week. But 12 back is a huge addition. So they're virtually at full strength now. Give or take. That being said, mate, that Newcastle Knights team just looked really sharp. They looked stacked. Got a number of informed players. Obviously, Best will be wanting to try and push his case for Origin. Ponga's back and playing some really good football on the back of his Origin resting. And that four pack, they don't get too many raps, but bloody hell, they're hardworking, mate. And they've taken it to a number of different teams. So I think Newcastle will be too strong, but a fully fit West side, I'm expecting an absolute cracking showing by them, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Pierce Paul's a big out for the Tigers as well. But other than that, both teams pretty strong. There was something else I was going to add there too, but it's completely slipped my mind, so we will move on. But you would expect both teams to be up for this. Hopefully we get a dry track, although the forecast is not fantastic, because this could be a fantastic game to watch if both teams are at their best and up and about. All right, game of the round, mate. What do you like?
Oh, look, the obvious one for me is Dolphins and Warriors. I think that'll be absolute must-see primetime TV. I think they'll absolutely knock the shit out of each other up front, and then the backs will take over the back end of the game. Mate, if you want a bit of a smoky for game of the round, I really like Manly and Storm. On the condition both teams get off the bus and turn up, I think that'll be a really good game too. Packed house at Four Pines, and the crowd will be giving it to the Storm on the back of the bad blood over the years. So I'm expecting that to be a bit of a smokier game of the round, but hard for me to go past Finns and the Warriors, mate.
Yeah, I agree. But just to be a bit different, I really like the Titans Doggies. I think this could be really tight throughout. The only danger, and this sounds funny to say, is that the Titans actually run away with it, because they do have points in them when everything clicks, and we know the Dogs don't, but I'm expecting that one to be tight. The market says the same thing. But just looking through the games, there are some good matchups. This would be a tipster's nightmare, and quite a good, well, if the games go as we hope, a great weekend of viewing. What about your lock of the week, mate? Who are we locking in as a guaranteed win from you?
Mate, I went with all the favourites last week and missed two monsters, mate. So I look over this one now and think the favourites are going to win every game again. But I get drawn to that Storm game, mate. They've named the Manly team as favourites. And I know they're at Brookvale and they're fairly well full strength, but I just like the Storm, mate. They're on a roll. Munster loves this time of year. So that's my upset, mate. Apologies, I've jumped ahead, mate, for you. But that's my upset. For my lock of the week, I like the Roosters up here. Even though they're backing up the Origin Stars, my lock's the Roosters, buddy. Apologies.
I'm with you on that one as well, mate. I just think that the Bronx are in disarray, and I expect the Roosters to actually put a score on them on Friday night. For my upset of the week, I've already mentioned the Titans, although technically that's not an upset, but I've mentioned already the Mighty Drags. Expect them to rack up win number two. They seem to be not just in heading in the right direction, but they could be playing Dean Young into a 2027 coaching gig too, because we've definitely seen a turnaround since he was in place. Certainly not of the magnitude as what we saw from Manly when Foran went in there, but they're definitely heading in the right direction. And with those big names heading there to the Dragons in 2027, I think he's done enough to keep the job. What about you, mate?
Yeah, I agree, mate. I think he has as well. There was a little bit of talk during the week about Ben Hornby. He hasn't wanted to put his hand up out of respect for Dean Young, but apparently the club's reached out to him. So there's still a little bit of talk around Dean Young, but Ben Hornby. But for mine, I'm with you. I think you've seen the difference that Dean Young's made with the team. And while they're not winning, they're certainly getting better each week. You can see improvements in them, and you can certainly see the long approach he's taken. So coupled, you know, with the new additions for next year, they've signed some quality players, which has been a long time for the Dragons fans, where we've seen a crop of players come in as talented as what they are. So if they can continue to work on the salary cap and, you know, potentially get one more outside back, I'd really like to see. I'd be very worried if Gutho and Val were playing in the centres next year. So I would love to see that change. But if he can do that, I think Young's our man that, as crazy as it sounds, could take us to the bottom half of the top eight, mate.
I don't think it sounds crazy at all. I think with who you've got coming in next year, the forward pack that we've gone on about all year, the young pack that'll be even better for next year, I think there's no reason why they can't be in the mix for the bottom end of the eight. The biggest rap for Dean Young is the fact that the word out of the Cowboys was just how well respected and received he was up there, and how much the players really loved him. Now, to me, that's half the battle. If the players love the coach and want to play for him, yeah, he's, and to me, that's what I'm seeing now, is that they are on board and they are definitely playing for him. So lock it in, Dragons fans. Now, I'd love to hear, given we've just had our first fans, maybe there's a Dragons fan out there that disagrees, wants to come on and talk. Maybe there's a fan from another club. We'd love to have you hit us up, either by grabbing the details in the show notes, jumping onto social media and send us a message and tell us you are in. We'd love to have you. If you've been inspired by what Troy had to say today and you think you can do a better job of your own team, yeah, let us know and we'll get you on.
Yeah, mate. Look forward to talking on Monday about some of these cracking games and talking some Origin selections, mate. Can't wait for next weekend's episode.
Yeah, me too, mate. Have a good one.
Cheers.